of the Lord, the work of the Lord, salvation of souls. It's the first place in our life. I'm glad it's that way this morning. And I'd like to talk to the church a little bit this morning about how the Lord is blessing it and how He wants to bless it better, how He wants to work in a greater way in our midst. I believe He does. Appreciate everything He's doing. Appreciate the souls are being saved. Souls are sanctified. Bodies are healed. And all the many blessings of the Lord, I have a great appreciation for that. Amen. And then I believe that we have a mutual desire that it even go forth in a greater way. Amen. We sang a song earlier in the service. That was song we sang was, God has given us His Spirit. And we want the world to hear it. We also want the world to see it. The Spirit that He has given us, the Spirit of God, that lives in us and lives through us and works through us. As people this morning, we lay claim on that. That's very important to us in our hearts and life, to possess His Spirit and to be led of His Spirit and to have the Spirit work in and through our lives. Thank the Lord for how He's doing that. And I know individually I want Him to lead me, bless me in a greater way, and that's my desire for all of us this morning. Amen. I was thinking to begin with of the leadership of the Holy Spirit and how precious it is, how valuable it is in our individual lives as well as in the church. The third chapter of 1 Corinthians in the 16th verse, the apostle says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 in part it says, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them and I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wonderful promise. And a wonderful experience to have the living God live in us and dwell in us and direct us and guide us and bless us. Then in the 8th chapter of Romans, in the 14th verse, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God has promised to His people that He would live within us, that He would dwell in us, live out of us, and that He would lead us and that He would guide us. Amen. In our life. I appreciate this morning the truth of that, of how that God truly is in His people and how that He leads us, directs us in our lives, and how He blesses us. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians, in the 18th verse, it says, and be not drunk wherein it, with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Lord wants to live in us this morning, wants to dwell in our hearts and in our lives, and we profess that to a world, to a lost world. We profess it to a religious world, that we're not just a church of many churches, but we are the church of the living God. Amen. And we are temples of the living God. He lives and dwells in our individual life as well as He dwells in the midst of the congregation of the righteous. That's our testimony. That's our experience. And we want to manifest it more and more unto the world. Not just in word, but in actual life, the way that we live. That it be evident that the living God actually lives and dwells in our hearts and in our lives. And guides us and leads us in our thoughts, our attitudes, our meditation, our words, our actions, our affections, our ambitions, our whole life this morning, that God is the one that dwells within us and that He lives in us. He's reigning in our hearts and in our lives, directing us as we live and as we serve Him. I love the church of God. I love the way it works. I love the way the Lord manifests and dwells and His Spirit is there. I love that. think someone, Brother Sammons, mentioned how it's such a blessing and no better time in life than to meet with the people of God here at Monarch. The reason for that is not necessarily who we are, but the reason of that is because that God dwells within us. Because His Spirit lives in our heart and life. And He's made us new creatures. We're born after Him, after His Spirit. And we have His righteousness, and we have His grace. We have His power in our life. And that's what makes it such a blessing for our association, for the fellowship that we enjoy, that we have today, is because Christ in us. It creates that joy and peace and pleasantness that we value so high. I'm thinking this morning of how important and how valuable it is to have the Lord dwell in our hearts and to lead us and guide us and direct us in our life. Now, it is important that we live close to God. I'll probably mention that a number of times. To actually be led of the Lord and to have the Lord directing and guiding our life, it is very important to live close to the Lord. Now, we can have all knowledge and a lot of understanding. We may know a lot about the truth this morning, but the only way that you and I will really truly be led of God and our life directed of God is to live close to Him. That's where His presence is, and that's where we hear His voice. And that's where He guides and directs and leads as we individually and as a congregation live close to the Lord. So let that kind of sink in our minds this morning, how real important it is to live close to the Lord individually in a personal way, being in direct contact with Him that He might lead us and direct us and guide us in our life. I'm thinking, to begin with, I want to talk a little bit about our services and as we serve the Lord in the see if I can find it in our singing. There is a scripture that says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Now, to be able to sing like that, we must live close to the Lord. And to have the blessing in our praise to the Lord and in our prayer to the Lord in song, it comes by the blessing and the visitation of His Spirit, and that's what anoints our song. You've probably been in song services, I'm sure most all of us have, when they seem like there was just a special anointing, a special blessing. Sometimes in special singing, there's been times when it wasn't necessary for any preaching. The Spirit of the Lord just moved through the song and touched the hearts and lives of the people, and people began to seek God, and we said, well, that was a wonderful time. That was a glorious time, and it was. And it was because that the Lord led and directed and the Lord blessed the song. Amen. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to do that more and more. I'm thankful for how He does it. But the Lord wants to bless in our devotions to Him. As we sing our songs of praise. Singing like this, we're not a people that seek out to excel and train voices. We don't find that necessary. We don't need the musical instruments of the world to sing our praise to the Lord, but we sing in spirit and in truth and in devotion to the Lord. And for that to be accomplished in our life, we have to live close to the Lord. Have to have His blessing upon us. And to be able to truly be blessed and have the Lord bless that. I was thinking also, when we come together, we don't have a song committee. You know, the religious world, they got to get their heads together and they have to form a committee maybe to select the songs, and we don't do that. Well, it's not just a tradition with us. That's not the reason we don't do it. But the reason we do it is because we come into the presence of the Lord depending on Him to lead us and to guide us and direct us. We value that very highly. We wouldn't change that. We wouldn't permit it to be changed. Someone said, well, I think we get songs that would kind of fit better, and I think we just ought to have some kind of a selection, and we'd say we don't want any part of that. We want the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and bless and anoint and be in our songs. I cherish that. I'm sure you do too. Value it very much. And that's where the Lord blesses. When it comes to our prayers, Scripture talks about praying in the Spirit. There, no doubt, could be some people trained that in a way, as an orator, or with real talent, they might be able to say a flowery prayer. But we're not interested in that this morning. And it isn't just that we don't call on people and set forth prayers as a tradition, but there's a truth involved. And that is the fact that we want God to lead on the hearts of His people, and to guide and direct in our devotion to Him, and to pray in the Spirit and lift our hearts to the Lord.
Amen.
I value that too. I wouldn't want that changed. I wouldn't want people to say, well, you know, there's going to be quite a crowd there today, and so let's pick someone that's been around a while, and they can kind of say the right things in a prayer. I wouldn't want that. We don't need that. We just simply need people living close to God, led by His Spirit, and to pray in the Spirit and look to God, and God will hear those prayers, and He'll bless and He'll answer. I value that very, very much this morning. When it comes to our exhortation, when it comes to testimonies, I value and I esteem highly the fact that we're a free people. We don't have any set form. And I remember one brother mentioned that he'd recently gotten saved, and he was in a sectarian place. He wanted to give his testimony. Well, they told him he had his either 3 or 5 minutes. I can't remember what he said. But they even announced it to keep it in check. They said, well, Brother so-and-so wants to give his testimony, and we're giving him 5 minutes. Well, I wouldn't like that, would you? Well, maybe sometimes we kind of get carried away. Be real honest about it, but I'd rather have it that way than to have it regulated and be void of the Spirit. I appreciate that. But did you know that it takes living close to God to know when to testify? And to how long to testify, and how to testify in the Spirit, and how to exhort in the Spirit? It takes living close to God for that to be effective. To have the Spirit of the Lord anoint that? Did you know that we want the Holy Spirit to anoint that just like all the rest of the service? We want His Spirit to be upon it. We want it to edify and to minister unto all in here. And I believe the Lord can work it that way. Well, we get down to the preaching. And everybody wants that anointed. And you hear quite a bit about that when it isn't. Some people say, well, yeah, we went, but it sure wasn't anointed. Don't hear too much about everyone talking about their singing or their praying. But when it comes to the preaching, they expect an anointing. Well, I think it should be too. And I believe that we ought to not settle for anything less. I believe that as a people we ought to pray to that end. And as a ministry we ought to seek to that end. That God would bless and that God would anoint. And that His presence and His Spirit would be there in power. If you remember over in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, the apostle here, Paul, said, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Dropping to the third verse, for I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, the fear of the Lord, his humility, his dependency on the Lord, is what he's saying. When I come to you, even though I was a learned man, and called to be an apostle, and God had blessed me in a great way, used me and called me to his service, and evident that his calling was sure, he said, yet I come in fear, and I come in trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Thank the Lord this morning that we have the privilege to know God and to know his people, and have the privilege to sit under the sound of the gospel that is preached in the power of the Spirit and in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm like a lot of you today. That's about all I know. I was born in a family that knew the saints, and I was raised there, and so that's about all I've known. But I know in the religious world today, there are a lot of hungry people, and there are a lot of people that rarely or not at all ever hear a message from God that is anointed and sent from God and blessed of God and minister unto their spiritual lives. But you and I are a blessed people this morning, and we're a wealthy people, inasmuch as you and I are able to assemble ourselves with people whom God's Spirit dwells in and lives through and speaks through and works through. Today, we ought to be a people with great praise unto the Lord for the privilege to be in his church, and for the privilege to be one of his children, and to have the blessing of the Spirit upon our hearts and upon our lives. The apostle's desire in his ministry was not that they would necessarily be one to him or even necessarily impressed of him, But rather that they would be established in righteousness and in the truth. God's people still feel that way. That still their desire is not that they would look to any man, but rather that we could bring forth the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth and spirit and truth, and we'll find people, their condition, their need, and lead them in to a real walk with God. Now, to be able to minister in the Spirit, be able to preach in the Spirit, it takes living close to God. God anoints lives. If we live a shabby life, and we might feel, well, it's kind of time for me to preach, and I might go out here and pray real hard. Now, Lord, I want you to bless me. But I've lived a little shabby, a little careless. We can pray a long time, and it's really not going to avail. God blesses lives that live close to him, that live under the influence of his Spirit and his righteousness. And then it doesn't matter if it's just a little congregation or a camp meeting or one-on-one, God will be there, and God will anoint and God will bless that effort or that word of his counsel. And so we want to live close to God, don't we? I may have all knowledge, I may have a lot of understanding, but if I don't live close to God, if I don't yield myself to his Spirit continually, there's no anointing, there's no blessing. I value that this morning. I value it in the church of God. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I believe you do too this morning. The presence of the Lord, the anointing of his Spirit, to have him working in and through us and in our lives. Now I want to get down to my message, my real message. I want to, first of all, express my real appreciation this morning for the church, for the work of the Lord, and for the interest in furtherance of the gospel. For different ones and how the Lord is blessing them and leading them into, some into foreign fields, some here in the States. And I think that we all have taken note. It seemed like there's been a kind of a renewed awakening and a burden and feeling the responsibility of the church to, as Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Brother Sammons mentioned a year or two ago something about a lost generation. Now, I'm one of them, those lost generations. People in their 50s, about I guess 50s, late 40s. Not too many there. But I've noticed that in the recent years, there's a number in their 20s and 30s that have felt the call of the Lord and the burden of the Lord, and I have a great appreciation. I'm very enthused about that. And I believe the church in general is. We really appreciate the fact that the church is not going down, and even though there may be a period of time when we've lost maybe some that could have worked effectively for the Lord, we yet have the Lord calling and directing and sending forth others into the work of the Lord. And I appreciate that this morning. To accomplish the most in that effort, we must live close to God. To actually be able to be effective and to work for God, young or old, whatever our place is, our calling in the work of the Lord, we must live close to the Lord. We must have the Lord and His help in our service to Him. In 2 Peter, the first chapter and the 10th verse, the apostle says, "Therefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, generally, that would refer to our salvation, and it does. We are called to be saints, and we are called to be His children and His ambassadors and serve Him. And that's a general statement to all of us, to make our calling and election sure. Well, I'd like to bring it down just a little more and exhort us to make sure of our calling that God has called us to. Give all diligence, all carefulness. Yes. The most important thing in your life this morning is the work of the Lord. Yes. And it is all so important this morning to give careful, diligent consideration to what God wants you to do and how He wants you to live and how the plan He has for your life, your service. In part, in the 13th chapter of Mark, the 34th verse, says there that, and speaking of the Lord, "And He gave to every man his work." Every man has a place. Every man has a work that God wants them to accomplish in their life. And I'd also like to just throw this in this morning. If you're here and you're not saved, and you're not living for the Lord, the Lord has a work for you. Amen. The Lord has a place for you. Now, He can't use you until you yield your heart to the Lord. Yes. Until you give it to the Lord. Until you're saved. Until you're born of His Spirit. He really can't use you. But I believe with all my heart that He's looking down upon you today. Yes. And in His will, He's saying if only they would yield. If only they would give and surrender their heart and life to Me, I would use them in My kingdom. I would use them in the work of the Lord. And I hope that's impressed in your heart and mind this morning, that if you don't get a whole lot out of this message, that will ring in your ears and in your heart. Even though I'm not saved, God is looking and God wants me to be saved. And He has a purpose and a plan for my life. He wants to use me. And as we would do that, we'd encourage you to give your heart unto the Lord. The Lord said that He gave every man his work to do. Every one of us this morning have a work to perform. And my work is not your work. Your work is not my work. I can't really fill your place. And you can't fill my place. God has a definite place for every one of us and a work to do. Also, we read here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, concerning the church and the body of Christ. The 18th verse is said, "And now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him." God is the one this morning that sets the members in His body. God is the one that gives every man his work as it pleases Him. He is the head of the church. He is the direction of the church. He is the leader of the church. and He leads the church through the Holy Spirit. And as we live close to the Lord, it is the Holy Spirit that will direct us and reveal to us where the Lord has set us in the body of Christ. The work that He has for us to accomplish, the work that He wants us to do, the Holy Spirit will reveal that to us. And again, I repeat, you must live close to the Lord. You cannot live afar off. You cannot live lukewarm or indifferent and the Holy Spirit reveal to you or show to you the work or the place that He wants you to fill in the body of Christ. It is important this morning to know where the Lord has placed us in the body. And if we live close to the Lord, He will reveal that to us. He'll show us. He'll lead us and direct us in that place. The ministry does not tell you what to do. We don't say, well, let's kind of see if we can find some evangelists around here. And let's see if we can find some pastors and foreign missionaries and teachers. Well, I think so and so, they might do pretty good. And we don't operate like that. Now, in the religious world, they may do that some. I don't know too much about the religious world. It wouldn't surprise me. They wouldn't encourage or hire people or try to get them in the positions to fill in the church, especially if they had natural ability and could persuade people, and they might would seek out such. But in God's church, He is the one that places each one of us in His body. And He's the one that leads us and directs us. And that will be known. That will certainly manifest itself as we move into the place that the Lord has put us. Didn't He say, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that who would send forth? That He would send forth laborers into the field. And so this morning it is the Lord that puts us in the body of Christ. It is the Lord that has a place for you to fill. Amen. And I want to encourage every one of you, young and old, this morning, to, in a greater way, seek the Lord. Amen. Lord, what would you have me do? Amen. What place would you have me to fill? Amen. How would you have me to conduct and live? And where would I live? I love the church. Amen. And I love the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't make any mistakes. We make mistakes sometimes. But the Holy Spirit never errs. It always is right. It's always safe. It's always going to be effective. It's going to work right. Oh, this morning that we would lean greater upon the Holy Ghost. There have been people with good intentions and maybe with zeal, and maybe with encouragement, maybe with emotion, that have endeavored to fill places that God did not really call them. And there's nothing that can discourage anyone quicker than trying to fill a place that God did not really call us to. And that's a burden on our heart. That's a concern. We want to see everyone happy. We want to see everyone effective. We want to see everyone being blessed to the Lord. But when the Lord calls us to whatever it may be, He also qualifies us, enables us by His Spirit. And that takes living close to God. I think sometimes people have looked at different ones' labors and thought, well, that looks pretty interesting, and I think I could do that. And maybe get a little emotional, a little excited, and begin to move that way, only to find real discouragement, and actually people have lost their experience with the Lord simply by not being in the right place. I'd like to add this, that there's room in every place. We're not trying to protect any job or any work in the Lord. There is so much room today for those to go forth in foreign fields, a call to the Lord, qualified to foreign fields to labor for the lost and the dying. There's room for Holy Ghost filled pastors to labor in congregations. There's room for evangelists. There's room for teachers. Whatever capacity you might think of this morning, there's a lot of room, and there's a great need. But it's so important this morning to be put there by the Holy Spirit and to be led there of the Holy Spirit, that He might bless your efforts and He might bless your work. In the 12th chapter of Romans, I'd like to read just a few verses in connection with this thought. Here in the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, the Apostle says, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Yes. And so the Lord is the one that supplies our grace. He's the one that supplies the wisdom. He is the one that supplies that which works in our heart and life to minister unto others. And to get into a place where He has not supplied sufficient wisdom or sufficient gift, it's utter discouragement. Therefore, I want to encourage you this morning to look to the Lord, live close to the Lord, and let Him direct your path. Let Him place you in the place that He wants to use you and to work in and through you in your life. The gift of the Lord, it went on to say, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." So forth. It goes on to tell the different gifts, prophecy, ministry, exhorting, giving, ruling, mercy, and so forth. But having given us the gift or the grace to function or to operate in that capacity, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the leading of God. And we want the Lord to encourage you. I want to really emphasize this morning that God does have a work for you. He does have a place for you to fill. And the Spirit of the Lord can lead you and direct you right into that place. And you'll be so effective. And you'll be so blessed, and His Spirit will rest upon it. It may not be to a foreign field, and it may not be in the behind the pulpit, but it may just be in personal witnessing. It may be in working with your hands. It really doesn't matter this morning where it is. And the important thing is to know that's where God has placed me, and to let His Spirit rest upon your life and work in and through you. And we, as members together, will go forward. See, the church will go forward as we all fill the place that the Lord has for us to fill and to work therein. In the 13th chapter of Acts, it tells how that, I believe it was Paul, and the 2nd verse says, "And as they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them away." And so, they being sent forth by what? By the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us and directs us where we go. We don't have committees. We don't have a group that designates or tells people where they're going to work or where they're going to labor, as many of the sectarian places have. But that's not just a tradition with us. That's not just something we've always done that way, or it's not because we're not organized. But it's because we depend on God. We depend on the Holy Spirit to lay it on the hearts and to lead and direct and guide individuals to the place that the Lord wants them to work and where He wants to bless them, where He wants to use them. And though we'd like everyone to be with us, we need to be careful and not influence people through our influence, whether it is to exercise them in a calling the Lord really hasn't called them, or take them to a place where the Lord hasn't really sent them. We need to hold that carefulness about us, to let the Holy Spirit lead and direct in every life. We can certainly pray for everyone. We can pray that God's blessings will be upon you, that God will lead you, that God will anoint you, that God will work through you. All of that's in order, but for me to tell you I think the Lord wants you to go here or there, or I think the Lord wants to use you in this capacity or that capacity, that's not my responsibility. Nor am I qualified, nor do I have that, only in the exception that the Holy Spirit would reveal to me without question, then I would be at liberty to give that direction. And that's to all of us today. I value the Holy Spirit and His leadership. It takes close living to God to be led of the Spirit and to have Him to continually bless in our life. Now I want to talk a little bit about we that are called to the work of the Lord and where we look for our support. The Church of God is unique in this too, isn't it? The Church of God depends on the Holy Spirit. He looks to God. And in the 118th Psalm, the 8th verse says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I want to remind all of us this morning that the Lord wants to be that one that supplies our needs. He is the one that He wants us to look to. He wants us this morning to trust in Him, depend on Him. And whether we're in a foreign field, whether we're without any resources and the Lord is bidding or calling, are safe, and the best thing to do is look to the Lord. Now the Lord has ways of supplying our needs, but He wants you to trust in Him. We need to emphasize that today. People are inclined to, in the organized world in which we live, and things get quite organized. But in God's church and in His work, He still wants this part led of the Holy Ghost. And He still wants us as His servants, and as we minister and as we work for Him, to totally look to God for all your needs and all your support. He has supplied bountifully those before us. Different ones that we could name, and yet some that we have with us that have given their life to the work of the Lord, God has always blessed. He's always met their need as they trusted in Him. And we also, I believe, need to encourage we that have contact with foreign missionaries, native missionaries. We need to teach them, we need to instruct to them that they need to look to God. That God is the head. And God is the one that supplies. And God will never let down. And God will always be there. People will fail us sometimes. Sometimes a lot of different circumstances can come to pass, but God will never fail. And so it is, I believe, this morning, the standard or the teaching or the faith of God's church for each and every one to look to God to supply your every need. Don't look to an individual. Don't look to a congregation. Now, many times your needs will come through those channels. The Lord will put it on the heart of an individual. Maybe an individual will even continually send forth an offering. But don't get your eyes on the individual, nor on a congregation. It tells us there that the Lord will supply. The 12th verse, he says, for I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Seemed like he met a lot of conditions, hadn't he, in his ministry and his life. And I know how to abound, and everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The 19th verse says, and but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. According to all His resources, the Lord will surely supply all of our needs, to all that we need. It is important that we look to God, that our ministry would not be influenced by anything but God. We're different in this, that in God's church we're called to declare the whole counsel of God without respect to persons. We're a defender of the faith. We contend earnestly for the faith. And if there comes a time in your efforts or your life that you're looking to other people or a group of people, you could be influenced. And you could fail and you could withhold some which God had given to you. And that is another reason it's so important this morning that you look to God, that you trust in God. And in doing so, we really don't become independent. That's just God's way. He wants us to trust in Him, to look to Him, and He'll supply the need. If there comes a time that someone is offended for the word's sake, and maybe they have been a supporter, God will take care of that. God will supply the need, see? I don't have to tailor, so to speak. I don't have to just kind of fit my thoughts or my message so I'm not offending that one that I'm looking to, because I'm looking to God. And that's the way the Church of God operates this morning. In the 10th chapter of St. John, Jesus speaking to us here, in the 10th verse, He says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In working for the Lord, whether it's a foreign mission or in the ministry, teaching, caring for the sick, whatever it may be, to be effective, to be successful, we must put that before our own life. And as a shepherd, as the Lord Himself being the chief shepherd, He also refers to the ministry as being shepherds. That quality of love, that consecration, whereby that we're willing to lay down our life for the sheep, for His people. The 12th verse says, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he careth not for the sheep." Isn't that sad? I think that some would actually try to fill a place for their own gain, for their own profit, really not having from the very depths of their heart a love and a burden and a care for those that they minister to. And when dangers that arise, or when it's not profitable to them, they're on their way. Yeah. If I can't benefit from this financially or with identity or with honor of men, they're ready to go. Not so in the Church of God. Not so with His people. Their love, their concern is like unto Christ. It comes from Christ. And they're ready to lay down their life. They're ready to give their life for God's cause. And to give it without compromise, without being a hireling or one that can be influenced or one that can be bought, so to speak. And that's another reason we trust in God for our support. That's another reason we look to God to supply our needs. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to be a hireling. I'm not going to operate. I'm not going to operate in any way to compromise the truth, the gospel this morning, just for gain or recognition. The Lord wants us this morning to look to Him. Trust in the Lord. What He's called you to do, you want to look to Him and trust in Him with all your heart. And the Lord will supply your needs. In the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, the Apostle in the 27th verse, he says, "For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of the God." All the counsel of God. And that's, I believe Brother Salmon's mentioned that in a 10-day meeting, you'll hear probably a lot of the gospel. And I believe in the hearts of His people, it is settled that we're not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. That was Paul's testimony. I want that to be my testimony. And I want that to be the testimony of all of us this morning. Then the 28th verse, he goes on to say, "And take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." He said, after I leave, I know there's going to be trouble. There's going to be people come in that would cause a division and would injure and hurt, and some would actually rise and seek those to follow them. And he had warned them of that. But in the 32nd verse, it says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." 33rd verse, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." That's a true servant of the Lord. That's a true minister of the gospel. I've coveted no man's silver, no man's gold or apparel or anything, material thing. I haven't coveted that. All I want is God's Spirit and his blessings to work in and through us. Paul's testimony was that he didn't covet anyone's silver or anyone's gold. True shepherd, a true disciple of the Lord. Also over here in 1 Peter 5 and 2 it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." And that's the true spirit of a gospel worker this morning in God's church. We're not in it for profit. We're not in it for recognition, honor of man, material gain. Simply, we have given our lives and our love and our service to minister God and his Spirit and his Word in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls. It's the very Spirit that... the very Spirit that lives in their heart, in their life. Spirit that moves them, that motivates them, is not for material gain, but it's for the furtherance and the spiritual benefit and salvation and blessing of others. That's the Spirit we possess. The exhortation thus far has been to those that are called to the work of the Lord. And the importance of being living close to the Lord and being led of the Spirit, letting the Spirit live in and through them, work through them, and maintaining the right spirit as they labor for the Lord. Now I want to talk briefly to all the church. For those that minister in whatever capacity it is in spiritual things, they must live close to the Lord. To be effective. It's true that you can go through the form and fill time, fill a place. But to actually minister and bless and strengthen, it takes living close to the Lord. But that isn't the only thing that living close to the Lord is required. For you just to actually live for God and be in His church, it takes living close to God. And I want to talk a little bit now about the responsibility of the church to the gospel worker. Because as a church, we have a responsibility. Now, while it is a responsibility of the gospel worker to look to God, trust in God, and receive from God, it is also God's plan that His church and His people would support the work of the Lord, would support the gospel worker. And to do that properly, you too are going to have to live close to God. You're going to have to live close where His Spirit can direct you and lead you in your efforts and your support and your giving of your alms and what you, how you operate, and to do it effectively, just as it is needful that a minister live close to the Lord is close. It is necessary that we that support the ministry live close to the Lord, that we be able to know how and what to do at all times. Remember this morning, the church has a real God-given responsibility to support the work of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I'll read a few verses. Here in the 9th verse, it says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thrasheth in hope should be partaker of this hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ." Now, in the Apostle Paul's ministry, there were times that he was in new places, and there was time when there was great opposition and false prophets, and there was times that it wasn't really edifying under the circumstances for him to look to necessarily the support of those that he labored for. But it still was their responsibility. It was still God's plan. And that's what he's teaching us in this, that, and as it says over in the 10th chapter, I believe, of Matthew or Mark, that the workman is worthy of his meat. Jesus said that, I believe. The workman is worthy of his meat. And it is our responsibility this morning to support and to give and to meet the needs of those that He has called to work for Him. I think of how that in the for the time of the Lord, I believe they taught tithing, taught their children to give 10%, I believe it was, in their tithing. And also speaks over in Deuteronomy of giving of their first fruits. And they were instructed to teach their children this, and the children's children, all of the laws of the Lord and all the ways of the Lord. I believe it would be appropriate this morning to encourage all of us to teach our children and children's children the responsibility that lies upon us to support the work of the Lord. We teach them by teach them by example and teach them by word. As part of the gospel, and it is this morning, it's a part of the faith. We don't want to deny that. We want to declare it. And we ought to be just as anxious for our children and our young people to understand this portion of the faith as all the other portions. And I'm not against teaching them about the things of the world and worldliness. I believe that has its place. Warning them concerning things that are not conducive to spiritual growth and living, that ought to be instilled in their hearts. And modesty and all the righteousness and the graces of the Lord, we ought to be concerned and we ought to instill that and teach that in their hearts and lives. But let's not leave this out or neglect this. In the sight of God, this is just as important to instill in their little hearts and in their youth. And as we get older, you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to support the work of the Lord. Amen. And to give of your means unto the work of the Lord. Yes. And in doing so, I believe it will bless the church. And I believe it will work well. When I think this morning of the renewed interest, revived interest in the work of the Lord, I want to see the church come right behind it. I want to see the church enlightened and with good knowledge and good understanding of our responsibility. And I don't want to see anyone go forth, and even though I'm assured and know that God will meet their needs, will bless them, I don't want them to have to do it in a different way than be His preference, and that would be through His people. I know there's times that God has supplied the need of His people to the people of the world. I've experienced that. I've been in a place when the Lord laid it on their hearts or directed people that didn't even attend service to give and send in offerings, and we thank the Lord for that. But that does not remove the responsibility that we as a church have. Even though the Lord sometimes might have to reach here, reach there, out of the kingdom to meet some material needs, that does not relieve us of our responsibility that we have this morning to care and to pray and to support the work of the Lord. The Lord may not really call you this morning to a foreign field. Your calling today really might be, I want you to support the work of the Lord. I want you to work with your hands. I want you to stay on a job. And I want you to take that means and then give it to the Lord. Have it totally consecrated and be gifted in that. Gifted in supporting the work of the Lord. And you'll receive a great reward from the Lord. In the fourth chapter of Philippians, and the 10th verse, the apostle said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that how at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I've learned to trust the Lord. I've learned to put my faith and confidence in Him, and He's promised to meet my needs. Then he says, I know both how to be abased, and I think I did read that, didn't I? I want to read it again. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. The 15th verse says, Now ye in Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonia, ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Not that I was just looking for the thing itself, but I'm thinking about you. And I'm thinking about the benefit and the blessing it is to you. And I'm thinking of that this morning too, to the church. I believe that as we live close to the Lord and as we feel our responsibility and support the work of the Lord, we will feel and we will be closer to the Lord. You will be stronger. You'll have greater victory in your spiritual life as you give and as you support the work of the Lord. The apostle here made mention of an account. And that kind of makes me to know that maybe we all have an account. You ever thought of that? And I might ask, what condition is your account in? God takes note, doesn't He? God knows how much we give to His cause, His purpose. He knows the sacrifices we make or don't make. He knows all about it. And the apostle here was mentioning about he wanted them to flourish in this. He wanted them to abound in that for their account. Because God's going to reward. because God's blessing is upon that. And I believe that with all my heart this morning, that we each one have an account before the Lord. That ought to encourage us to take stock and to build that account up. I want to abound in that. I don't want to come before the Lord and see my account and see that it's just miserly and insufficient and displeasing and unacceptable in His sight. I want the Lord to be pleased with my sacrifice. I want Him to be pleased with my offerings to the Lord. Maybe you haven't thought about that a lot, but I think we ought to think about it. Well, you know, I don't have near as much as some people have. And let those people that have more. Now I'm thinking of the woman that Jesus beheld at the treasury, remember? And she had two mites. That's all she had. And the Lord, He was looking there, and He saw many that had much, and they gave much of their abundance. And the little widow woman, she gave her two mites. And the Lord commended that. The Lord took note. And He spoke to His disciples and told them, she's given more than they all. For she had given all that they had. Do you think it's possible this morning that God looks not just on the dollar amount, but He might look on the percent? Think about that a little bit. In other words, if I, just an example to make it real clear in your mind, and I'm saying this in the love and the fear of the Lord. If I had $1,000 and you had maybe $20 and you gave $10 and I gave $10, who gave the most? In the eyes of the Lord. I really wonder. You see, what we have this morning is what God has blessed us with. You say, well, I'm a better manager. Who gave you the ability to manage? Amen. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Why are you glorying that? God gave it to you. Church, this morning we're going to answer to the Lord. We're going to give an account of our stewardship to Him and no one else. And so it isn't this morning necessarily the amount, but it's the percent before God. It's how much is given to Him there on the altar. And I know as a church that we don't advocate, or shouldn't say advocate, but we don't teach tithing as a doctrine. But I feel that except our righteousness exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we're going to miss heaven. And that includes not only the actions of our life, as far as where we go, where we don't go, and how we look. But it also includes giving. And except our giving exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, we're going to miss it. And I don't want us to miss it this morning. The 12th chapter of St. Luke, Sister Reed read this last night. But I want to read it again. I feel like the Lord has talked to my heart quite a while about this, last few months, maybe a year. Here in the 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, I'll read it again. And Jesus, 15th verse, said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now I know that this certainly applies to the unbeliever, to the person who lets material things of life separate him from repentance and being saved. Don't you believe this morning that also just as much this would be applied to believers? Because Jesus said, take heed. He expected them to be able to recognize it and to take heed and to be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not of the abundance of things which he possesses. How human it is this morning to want to put our security in material things. How human it is to feel more comfortable if I have a certain amount of assets. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have assets, but don't put your faith in it. And don't put your love on it. I believe what the Lord was teaching was people that they actually had a problem with covetousness, inordinate desires for material things or for wealth. When it comes to a lack of support or lack of giving to the work of the Lord, it's one of two things. Either people are ignorant or they have covetousness. They just don't understand, they're ignorant of it, they're not aware of it, and in condition like that, the Lord can teach and lead and reveal. Or they can come to an understanding. They can come to realization and have such a problem with a covetousness and a spirit of such, they're just not willing to release and to give and to support. And the Lord here gave us a lesson to take heed. Be careful about this. Because even though you might increase and might abound, there comes a day of reckoning. There comes a time when all of us will give an account of our soul. You will give an account of the management of what God has blessed you with. You'll answer to God. And you'll have to just openly come before Him and reckon with Him exactly how I've responded to the Spirit of the Lord and how He's led me and directed me and guided me. I feel with all my heart this morning that God wants us to excel as a church in supporting His work. We need foreign missions, foreign missionaries. We need evangelists. We need pastors, teachers, gospel workers. Greatly need them today. But we also greatly need to be in a spirit and a condition as a church that we're ready to respond and to give and to support that work of the Lord. I remember hearing of some who used to wash on a washboard, take in washings, take in ironings for themselves? No, for the work of the Lord. They wanted to support. They wanted to give. They didn't have a lot to give, and so they were willing to take jobs such as that they might support the work of the Lord. They might give to God's cause. It's easy to say, well, I'd like to do more, I just don't have it. But there are certain things in life we want, we find a way of getting it. We can cut corners, we can deny ourselves of some things to have other things we want. But when it comes to supporting and giving liberally to the work of the Lord, oh, I'd like to do more, I just don't have it. Is God going to accept that? Remember I said I'm going to say something about living close to God. To be a successful giver and supporter of the work of the Lord, it takes living close to God. Living under the anointing of His Spirit. Hearing that voice, directing and guiding. We need to learn how to give. 6th chapter of Matthew, it talks about, don't sound a trumpet when you give. When you do that, you already have your reward. But give unto the Lord. I was thinking of how we need to recognize our responsibility. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell it. Most of us live in congregations. Congregations where there's pastors. And we need to learn to support the pastor. We need to learn to realize that's my responsibility. And you might say, well, the pastor, they work some. Well, that's all right too. But that does not relieve you of your responsibility. Still have the responsibility to recognize as they fill that place and as they feed my soul, as they're called of the Lord and as they're used of the Lord, it's my responsibility to support that pastor. I like to see, and I worked for over 20 years in small congregations, so I'm not condemning people who work in pastor. I know that's necessary sometimes. But I want to challenge a church this morning. I want to challenge us to know how much better it would be if we would be more supportive, if we'd be willing to make greater sacrifice and to support our pastors. Support our evangelists. And I'd like to add this. Don't give the evangelist the pastor's offering. I remember, it's been over 30 years ago, because Sister Opal Wilson's been gone that long. But she preached a message along this line. And she asked the congregation, said, how would you like to work all week on your job and then have the employer give it to someone else? You wouldn't think that was right, would you? You worked all week, and then the employer would say, well, you know, I'm not sure you need this at all. You seem to be doing pretty good. I believe I'll give this to someone else. You wouldn't accept that. Well, pastors accept that, but it's still not right. And I want to encourage us to recognize that we need to support our pastors and to support the evangelists. Sister Opal Wilson also gave this example, and I'll share it with you. She asked the congregation, how would you like it if you bought a new car and you worked all week and your employer said, well, they've got a new car, they must not need this. Wait a minute, I worked all week for this. Yeah, but you got a new car. How would you like that? We need to live close to God to know how and what to do and how to give of our own. And not just give by appearance sometimes, or out of sympathy, or to a favorite, but let the Holy Spirit lead you and direct you and guide you in the giving of your alms. I remember also an incident late brother I.D. Stover told me, and I want to make it clear he wasn't complaining at all. He just shared it with me one-on-one. And it was during the Depression, the 30s. And a good sister wanted to buy him a new pair of shoes. Well, his shoes were kind of worn, but they weren't near as bad as his wife's. And he told me how it hurt him. Sister, of course, she wanted to take him down and get the shoes. And Sister Stover, his wife, they live by the gospel, as we all know. She was, and some of you might not know, but I think some of you do know, remember when you had to put cardboard in your shoes because they had holes in them? And Sister Stover's shoes were in that condition. Big holes in her shoes. And putting cardboard in them, and the sister wanted to take Brother Stover down, buy him some new shoes. See, that was one of the hardest things that I ever had to do. Well, I'm sure the sister meant well. I really believe she did. But we need to learn how to support and how to give and turn loose. Give unto the Lord as we would support His work and as He lays it on our heart. You don't always have to tell the servant, minister, the gospel worker, just what to do with this. I'm giving you this, I want you to do this, this, and this. It would be better to give it unto the Lord, give it to the servant, trust the Lord, and let the Lord teach and lead and direct and guide. I would acknowledge this morning that no doubt in the ministry you will find some that do through training, might have better ability and better management, and some not as well. But leave that with the Lord. And you respond to the Holy Spirit in your giving. And let the Lord bless you in that way. A covetous spirit. A spirit where it's so hard to turn loose. Is there anyone here this morning that has a real hard time releasing and turning loose when the Lord lays a giving on your heart. I want you to know that that's spiritual. And I want you to know that the Lord has help. And the Lord has enablement. Where one time it may have been difficult and you really hated to turn loose of it, it can actually be your joy. It can be your delight. But it's living close to the Lord. In the second chapter of Corinthians, in the ninth chapter, and the sixth verse says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap so sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Do you really believe that this morning? Do you believe the word of the Lord? Do you believe the gospel? It cannot deny itself. If we give sparingly, if we support in a sparingly way, and reluctantly, difficult, that's just how it's going to come back, and that's just the kind of blessing you're going to get. Yeah, I did. I did it because I knew I had to. It's so hard. Think of what I could have had with that. If we give bountifully, can you imagine what it would be like if everyone that named the name of the Lord purposed in their heart, sought the Lord? Lord, make me a bountiful giver. Make me one that's very much involved and seeking to do all I can for God's cause and just emptying out and doing all I can, giving unto the Lord, supporting His work. Give me that gift, Lord. Give me that ability. Give me that direction, that guidance, that help in my life. And if it wasn't just one, but many, I'm confident this morning that the work of the Lord would go forth in a greater way. I believe that with all my heart. And the Lord this morning wants us to seek that in our life. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. You see how where the Holy Spirit comes in? I'm so glad it's that way this morning. I'm glad we don't have rules and regulations saying, well, you have to give this or give that. But as you purpose in your heart, as you live before the Lord, as the Holy Spirit communes with you and directs you and guides you, sometimes it might be the two mites. Sometimes it might be less. And then the writer says, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Well, they're going to take up an offering. I have to give. People are going to see me and they're going to see I'm not really doing much. I really don't enjoy this. I wish they didn't have to do this. Not grudgingly, nor out of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. When we get in our hearts and when we know and understand what it really means to give, we can thoroughly enjoy it. We can do it cheerfully. We recognize this is one way that I'm able to express my gratitude and my love to the Lord. This is how I'm communicating how much the Lord means to me and what He means in my life. And it's my opportunity to give unto Him and do it for Him. And I can do it joyfully. Not out of necessity or grudgingly. So this morning, I really don't know how you feel about it. You don't know how I feel about it. Chances are a lot of us today don't know how each other feel about it. You don't know if it's easy for someone or hard for someone. But I want to tell you this morning that according to God's Word, and by His divine Spirit, it can be easy for all. It can be a blessing for all. And it can be a joy to all. Closing, I'd like to read in the 10th chapter of Mark. I want to refer to the young rich ruler that came to the Lord. And he was seeking eternal life. I hope this morning that all of us are interested in eternal life, seeking it in our hearts. And as he asked the Lord what it would he do to have eternal life, Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these have I observed from my youth. All of these commandments, all of these good traits, traits of righteousness, I have observed or I have kept from my youth up. And I notice in this passage of Scripture that Jesus didn't challenge that. He didn't deny the fact that this man was testifying to the truth, that he had kept those up. But as it says, as he beheld him, he loved him, and he said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about and saith to his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And as Jesus taught them this, it says they were astonished out of measure, saying, Who then can be saved? I would this morning that the Lord would reveal this little lesson to us like he did to the disciples. I think it was more than just face value, as we would commonly consider it today with them. For them to respond in astonishment and say, Well, Lord, who then can be saved? Without question, is probably closer than we bring it on ourselves today for them to react that way. Jesus said, Thank the Lord. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. In the human, it's not possible this morning for you to support and to give to the work of the Lord like you should. It takes the divine enablement, the divine strength, the divine love, the divine grace, a divine detachment, an ability for you to actually sacrifice and deny and to support the work of the Lord like God is calling us to do. I notice in this young man, Jesus said, One thing thou lackest. He didn't go into a lot of things. But this morning I'm wondering if he would say the same today. He would say, I appreciate the way that you're holding the truth. I appreciate the fact that you're standing out against worldliness and worldly amusement. I'm grateful that you're careful where you go and what you do. I appreciate the standard of dress. I appreciate the trust you have in me and the fact that you're trusting me for all things, for your healing and all. We could meet all of those qualifications, and if we're not giving as the Lord wants us to give, he would yet say, There's one thing thou lackest. Is it possible this morning that there would be some that would be measured on a number of lines, and appearance would be all well, but actually lose their soul because of covetousness, because of a lack of willingness to render and to submit my all to the Lord? I believe it is. I believe that people can be willing to do a number of things and still haven't got that covetousness out of their heart and out of their life. And even though they do many things that would appear commendable and righteous and good, yet the Lord would say to them, One thing thou lackest. I don't want the Lord to say that to me. To me, what I've talked about this morning is a solemn, serious thought. It is more than just material things. It's more than dollars and cents. It is a spirit. And that spirit rests in the heart and life of people where they'll not release and not turn loose and give unto the Lord. That in itself can take them to a place of eternal torment. May the Lord challenge us this morning. I love the church of God. I love God's people. I love His cause. And I want to see it go forth.
Amen.